Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at EverBank Field, Jaguars Postgame final score, Raiders 33, Jaguars 16. The Raiders now 5-2. The Jags fall to 2-4. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. The offense with just a poor performance today, especially in the second half. The three straight three and outs after the field goal to open the second half. Another punt after that. Got a late touchdown. The defense did what they could do most of the game today. And then a lack of discipline when things unraveled at the end of this ball game.
This is really embarrassing. You know, I think they just have to go back and just take a deep look at themselves. Nothing went right. The frustration set in. Obviously, got two players ejected. I don't know. I would like to say you have to do more to give yourself an opportunity. But what is more? Because they're not doing, in my opinion, they're not doing anything. I think the offense has regressed. I think they have to find a way to utilize Blake's full potential and abilities. And I think that, you know, getting him outside the pocket a little bit more because the line isn't holding up. He can't drop back. The time isn't there. The timing is off. It's just a lot of bad that's going on. The one spotlight actually on the entire team is the defense. Yet, when they're game planned and the team's going to run, you know, 90%+ of your run plays left right at you, you have to do something to make those adjustments too. It's just a bad day for the entire group, the entire team.
Yeah, we said they needed to be more efficient, JP and Fred. You know, you open it up, you drive it down the field, and you're looking at no worse than a tie game, at least a very makeable field goal attempt for Jason Myers. And the one thing Blake Bortles can't do there is throw an interception. He throws into heavy coverage to Marquise Lee, gets that one picked off. And really, to me, forget the result of this game. It's bad. The worst thing is that your quarterback right now doesn't look like a shadow of what he was last year.
Right.
He's constantly throwing behind guys on quick little slants and crossers. And to me, again, as a layman looking at it, I think that delivery is taking too long to get rid of the football. Either that or he's not reacting the second he sees it. He's throwing behind guys. He just looks out of sorts there. And you couple that with the fact that they can't consistently get anything out of the running game right now. So teams don't have to fear the run whatsoever. And, you know, your top receiver had a bad day as well. Allen Robinson didn't help it out. But to me, it just really falls on the quarterback, Blake Bortles. And that's the biggest concern.
I agree with you. And it started early in the game, that interception. You know, and the one thing about when you watch film and watch tape throughout the week and prepare for other teams, the red zone doesn't change. You know, Jack's been running the same red zone's defense since he's been here. His cover two is a two. And when the guy falls back on the fade route to the corner route to the corner, you have to either throw that ball up there. You can't throw it on the line because the interception is going to happen. And that's what happens. So Blake has to understand that when I watch film, I have to trust it. And I just don't think he's trusting himself. He's forcing some things.
How do you fix it? Keep playing, right?
You have to keep playing, but you have to trust what the tape is showing you throughout the week. And if nothing's there, you know, you're big and you're strong. He's extended other plays. You can make things happen. And worst case, be smart enough to just fling it way out. You know, don't try and force the issue.
As we all try to figure out what's going on in Blake's mind, I don't know if it's that he's not trusting the film guys or if he's not trusting himself. You know what I mean?
Both.
Yeah. And
maybe a combination of the two,
too.
Right?
It's because the offensive line, you know, different bodies in there. And quarterbacks are going to look. They're going to look around. Man, if I don't trust this guy, I'll peek an extra look and I'll take my eyes off downfield and then I'm watching for what's going on around me. You just never know because it's all bad.
Head coach Gus Bradley coming up. We'll have the first word with the Jags head coach outside of the locker room. Jeff Lagerman is standing by, and we'll go there shortly. There will be plenty of questions this week. It's a short week going into this Thursday night game about the penalties at the end, the discipline, the two ejections, the fighting, Malik Jackson, the whole thing. There's got to be an answer for that somewhere. I think we're ready to go to the locker room now. Gus Bradley, and we'll get the answer to that. Gus Bradley with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, a lot of opportunity out there in this ball game today against the Oakland Raiders at home with an opportunity to get back to 500, kind of get back in the division mix, and not the outcome I'm sure you were expecting.
No, it wasn't. I mean, here we have come into the game 2-0 on a roll, good momentum coming our way, back at home, and to get caught up in all of it and not play to our capabilities. We lost our poise at times at the field, and it came back and affected us. Guys tried to press, make some plays when we were down, and that's not how it works. You just got to really stay true to who we are. And that's an unbelievable lesson for our team, but not the outcome we wanted.
Offense continues to struggle. Blake Bortles continues to struggle. How do you get the offense back on track?
Well, we just take a look at it. You know, we'll go back and, you know, every week we analyze it, see the things that we're doing well, see the things that we're not, and take a look at it. And it comes back to when you have opportunities to make plays, players got to make them. We got to coach them up better. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of things. So we just need to go back to work. And, you know, we had a great talk in there in the locker room tonight. And all of us got to take ownership on it.
You talk about the losing the poise part, a couple of players ejected. What do you say to those players?
Well, no matter what happens out on the field, no matter what, you can't overreact. And it's about poise. And it doesn't matter how it comes about. We got to be the bigger person and hold our temper and not put our team in harm's way and end up putting us in backed-up situations multiple times.
And not a whole lot of time to dwell on it. You got a game coming up Thursday in Nashville.
Well, that's the good thing. You know, we got to get back to work, and that's what we need to do. Get back tomorrow and prepare for Tennessee because you're right, it is a short week.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
There's Gus Bradley outside of the Jaguars locker room after the Jags fall to the Oakland Raiders. We'll come back. Jeff Loggeman inside more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well. The final score, 33-16 Raiders over the Jaguars, and this is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Hey Jaguars fans, you ready to score free McDonald's favorites this season? Just download and register on the McDonald's app. Cheer on our Jaguars. Win free food. The Jaguars' final score wins you a McDonald's favorite. 10 points gets a free 6-piece chicken McNuggets. 20 points a free double cheeseburger. And 30 points a free Big Mac. It's good to be a Jaguars fan. Valid September 11th through January 1st. McDonald's app download and registration required. Valid only at participating McDonald's in the Northeast Florida, Gainesville, Southeast Georgia areas. No purchase required.
Here's why our members say they choose ByStar Credit Union.
Here, there's a friendly face at the front desk. There's a friendly face at the back desk.
Every time I come here, it's just open arms and somebody's here to help.
That's a ByStar thing, for sure.
Look into ByStar. Look at becoming a member if you're not already a member. They never forget that it is your money.
To join, visit any branch or ByStarCU.org. At ByStar, we never forget that it's your money. Federally insured by NCUA. All new accounts subject to approval.
The CSI Companies has been getting the people business right for more than 20 years in Jacksonville. CSI proudly opened their doors just as the Jaguars came to town. And they've been valuable business partners for some of Jacksonville's largest companies. Do you have a need for temporary help during a busy time period? Looking for a team of IT consultants for a special project? CSI can help. Call them at 800-582-0828 or go to thecsicompanies.com. Don't partner with just anyone. Partner with the CSI Companies, proud partner of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank. 33-16, the final, Raiders over the Jaguars. Inside the locker room, Jeff Loggeman has Blake Bortles. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Blake, a lot of opportunity in this ball game today. Opportunity to get back to 500, get back in the division mix, and not the performance you guys were certainly expecting.
Yeah, no, it was bad, you know, offensively. I thought we had some good drives here and there. And again, turnovers and self-inflicted wounds set us back, you know. So we got to continue to try and find ways to eliminate them, kind of stay together, become closer as a team, and solve problems.
end of that ball game. Couple of ejections. Malik gets ejected. Jalen gets ejected for fighting. And it just doesn't look good as a football team, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah, we got to do a better job in here of holding each other accountable. And it starts with practice. It starts with holding each other accountable at practice in the meeting room, doing things right. And it's on us to kind of raise that standard and raise the expectations of, you know, how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to play.
For you guys on offense, what's it going to take to find that rhythm to where – you know, drive in and drive out, you feel like you're a threat.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have to continue to work. We've played six games now and have played nowhere near as good as we're capable of playing offensively, which is frustrating. But, you know, it's time to go back to work. It's a short week, Thursday night game, a divisional game, and a chance to go 2-0, start 2-0 in the division. So we'll get it fixed hopefully this week.
All right, thank you, Blake.
Thanks.
Blake Bortles in the locker room there. You know, we go back to something Gus Bradley said at his interview earlier. Stay true to who we are. Well, the question is, who are the Jaguars right now?
They lack identity. The run game is in existence. Every week is something different. I guess I would say it that way. They started out well, 96 yards before the half running the ball, and then that completely vanished. That disappeared. The defense started off well. That disappeared. But every single week, it's just a group of just guys just that are out there. No one's really stepping up, making any real plays in crunch time, in crunch situations. I don't know who they are. I'm searching now. I'm trying to find something.
Right.
It's not an identity. If a lot of times you have teams that strike fear into other teams, you know what you're going to get when you go into that game. We have to prepare for X, Y, and Z. You know, when you play the Jags, I don't think anyone is saying that. They're saying, hey, let's run left the whole game. You know, that's what we're going to do. Let's pick on Amukamara the whole game. That's what we're going to do. But the coaches have to also find a better way to help the guys out too, I think.
Yeah, I think none of us can figure out who they are right now, but I'm curious as to how they see what they are, right? Like, what does Gus Bradley envision of what, if they play up to their ideal, what does that look like? You know, are they a team that wants to set the tone with the running game, which you talked about? Well, I think the backs combined only had 11 carries, Fred, like you're talking about. They had some success in the first half. He had the big run by Ivory, but that was kind of the one that stood out, and then you had Blake with a couple of runs himself. So the tailbacks, other than that 142-yard run, really couldn't get anything going. Who do they see themselves as, I think, is the big question.
Yeah. They've got a couple of days to figure it out before Thursday. Let's go back to the locker room now. Jeff Lagerman has, I believe, Alan Hearns. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Alan, offense, hard time finding its rhythm. What's it going to take to where this offense gets back to reaching its capability, the expectations that you guys even had on yourself?
We got to find a rhythm, you know, whether it is, you know, getting a running game going or getting quick passes going. You know, no matter what it is, you know, this season we haven't found a rhythm yet. You know, prior to this game, we won our last two games, but on offense, it just didn't feel right. You know, far as playing to our standards, you know, moving the ball and scoring touchdowns, but we have to find something to get going.
The expectation in this game and the possible outcome, getting back to .500, getting back into the division mix, and you weren't able to do that. And at points in this ball game, at the end, it kind of got a little bit ugly. A couple of ejections. I'm sure that it's not something that you guys are proud of as a team for a game like today.
No, not at all. You know, it's not our standard of ball all around. You know, it is very frustrating, you know, just to see, you know, what this team capable of when we're not playing to our standards. You know, it's frustrating as hell. But, you know, the main thing for us, you know, we just got to stay the course no matter what it is. You know, guys, we can't get kicked out of the game. You know, I know everyone's frustrated. You know, I'm frustrated. And I know that's for everybody else. But, you know, we got to control what we can. You know, we can't go out there reaching for, try to do things out of our ordinary, you know, for us. So we just got to stay the course, man. And everybody got to stay true.
Very disappointed in what took place out there. Just felt like we were a team that had a lot of good things going. You know, had 2-0 in the last two games, had a chance to be 3-0, play in front of our home crowd. A lot of energy from our team, excited about this opportunity, and not to get it is frustrating. I know it felt like during the game, it's proven. We lost our poise. And, you know, I think we became frustrated. Things didn't go exactly how we would have planned. And some things took place on the field. And you got to keep your poise. You got to keep your composure. And, you know, we lost our poise. And, you know, it ended up affecting us. And there's a lot of things that took place. We didn't move the ball as well as we had hoped. We were in backed-up situation multiple times. Tough for us to get out of. We got to, you know, get out of those situations and change the field position battle. And time of possession was going to be a big deal today, and they won that. So give them a lot of credit. They made plays when they had to, made big plays. I thought the play right before the half, the long play, when it was, what, 13-6, was a big play. Give them credit. You know, both guys went up for it, and they made a play. So. But there were plays like that in the game. We missed our opportunities. They made theirs, and that's the outcome.
How surprised were you by the team's lack of composure with the ejections?
Well, that's it. I mean, yeah, we lost our poise. And it doesn't matter what happens or how it came about. A good team can't do that. You can't get caught up in it. Well, you know, I just looked at, you know, we drive down there. The first series went 3-and-out. Then we drive down there and got a chance to get some points on the board. We threw an interception. And then, you know, I think we had the fumble punt that we lost the offensive possession or punt return. And we scored 2 field goals. You know, we're not getting touchdowns in the red zone. You know, and then that second series that we had where we threw the interception, we just got to make good decisions there. But I think it's as a whole offensively. You know, I think we're trying to find it. We went no huddle in the first half. We did it in the second half to try to find that rhythm again. We're trying to, and we did it right after a score. We got a field goal. We said, hey, let's come out in no huddle and jump into it. And we just didn't capture it in the red zone. I think we were 1-for-4 in the red zone.
What does it look like the same quarterback, though?
What's that?
It doesn't look like the same quarterback from last year.
Well, I don't think offensively, we're not playing as well as we did, I think, as a group. And, you know, we had some drop passes, too, today. So I know it's going to go right to the quarterback, but, you know, we all take responsibility for that.
Overall, this seemed like a great opportunity to get the run game going, and just outside of one play, it really didn't. What did you see that kind of was the same problem you guys consistently had?
Well, I think, you know, especially in the second half, you know, I know we had 7 penalties at one point, and then they started to stack up with some poise penalties and then some holding calls. And when you're getting into a situation where you're throwing every play to try to get back in the game, as puts a lot of pressure on the offensive line. And obviously we got away from the run game. The run game, you keep running it and running it and running it, and then one breaks out, just like it did in the first half. That's how the run game goes. And, you know, we're just not in those situations where we can keep just pounding the run and have those opportunities come up. But I still, with that being said, I think we need to get more movement up front. I think that we need to see the hole, you know, just use our instincts a little bit better and hit the, you know, the seams when they're created. So there's things like that that we need to, you know, school up as well.
Gus, getting back to Blake, yeah, there was 2 passes in particular in this game. One happened in the first half, it was a 3rd down. A-Rob got roughed up a little bit by the D-back, but he was still open, and Blake threw it a good 2 or 3 yards behind him. There was another play with Julius Thomas in the 4th quarter. Again, what looked like simple throws.
Right. I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here and protect every throw he makes. I don't want to do that. But you're right. There's throws that we need to have better, and we'd like to have more accuracy. But that's you see that in the league. I mean, I just saw a quarterback the other night, you know, NFL player, and he threw 2 balls behind it in the dirt. You know, some of those are going to come up. When we're in a situation where we're not going to do it as well as we want offensively, those things even get more magnified. And I understand that. He understands that part. And, you know, the accuracy is important, timing, accuracy, decision-making, catching the balls that are thrown to you, all those things, you know, staying in games, making plays in the end zone. Julius Thomas makes a great play in the end zone. You know, we got to continue to build off of those things and get it to where we, you know, not gain confidence with every drive that we have out there.
A-Rob had 3 drops today. How do you get him back on track?
I don't think it'll be hard to get him back on track. I don't know why it happened. I know there's times like that can happen to a receiver, but I'm not going to sit here and say because he's pressing, because I don't know that. You know, but I do know that we had some guys pressing, trying to make plays and trying to create something for our whole team out there. And sometimes when you do that, it doesn't go your way.
No takeaways last 2 games. Are you guys putting yourself
yourself in position to get some balls, or is it just they're not those opportunities aren't arising?
Well, he makes good decisions. Their quarterback's very good. I thought defensively, again, 32 points is too many points. There were some sudden change opportunities where we stood up, but this team's been averaging 27, 28 points a game. So we knew offensively their opponent. We knew the quarterback was very good in the red zone. They were at 80% in the red zone. So we knew we had to get some stops in there. So I felt like, you know, when it was 13-6, even though all the things took place, even right before the half, we had a chance right there. That big play, even with that happening, when we had the ball to start in the second half. So I thought the defense hung in there and played hard against a really good offensive team. You know, just the time of possession was big. Yeah, I just think, you know what, they're passionate players. He's a passionate player, and he got caught up in it. And, you know, the things that take place out there, you know, you just got to keep your poise. And he knows it. He's the first to admit it. And, you know, same thing with Jalen. You know, I think you just can't get caught up in that emotional part of the game. It is an emotional game, but when it, you know, things like that put us in tougher positions and stuff, and, you know, those plays sometimes show frustration. You know, it doesn't mean frustration with the team. It could be just what took place on that play. And you can't overreact to it. It hurts the team.
Josh, where do you go from here? Is there some button you try to push?
Well, you keep challenging. I mean, we had a couple of players spoke up in the locker room today. And I thought he did a great job with the team. I talked to him. They talked to him. The point is we got an AFC opponent coming up. And South Division opponent. And it's going to be a quick turnaround. In the last three games, we're 2-1. You know, and, you know, we didn't play. We missed it. We missed an opportunity. We missed an opportunity to go out there and play like we're capable of playing. Like I said, don't take credit away from them. They did a great job. But, you know, we just got to get back to work now. Go back to work on a short week and come back. And, you know, the quick turnaround probably is a good thing for us.
If Roy isn't able to go this week, did look good out there, how much of a loss would that be for your defense?
Well, we'll see when we find out. But, you know, if that's the case, that's, you know, Roy Miller's a great player for us.
And then Rashad Green's fumble and then fielding it at the one. Is there anything you can say at that point? Why do you think he did that?
No, there's things I can say, but, you know, you know, but, you know, that's part of it. You know, Rashad is, you know, he wants to make something happen. You know what? And, you know, that aggressiveness, that try to make something happen and try to give a spark for this team, you know, especially in the, you know, the one where he, you know, returned out of the end zone. You know, he's got to understand the situation where he is in the field.
How much consideration on offense to start the game did you think about going a higher tempo in the first quarter?
To start the game? Yeah. Well, because the week before against Chicago, we started off and we moved the ball pretty well, you know, and then we had a 3-and-out, and then we talked about when we were going to do it, and, you know, we came out. I don't think coming out and running no huddle the whole time is the answer for us. I think that it has its purpose for us, and we used it a couple times today, and we jumped into those situations, and we'll continue to look at it, though. Well, I think sometimes there's a fine line. You know, we're going to just stick to it and believe that it's going to come. And then there's also that insanity definition, right? You know, so it's a fine line. And I think that there's things that you really just stay on it and you keep going. And then there's other things, obviously, you got to shake up. And I think that you got to look for those things and say, all right, what can stimulate our guys? What's going to, you know, get them? And a lot of challenging. I mean, challenging us as coaches and challenging the players, and you know, because I believe this is a talented squad. It's a talented squad that's, you know, on offense not playing as well as we need to at times. And, you know, so, you know, it's about ownership and not just, you know, you might get 9 guys doing it right, but there's 2 and they're picking and choosing their time. So just playing more at a consistent level.
You mentioned it right up top, you know, 2 in a row, you're going in with a good feeling. All of a sudden, how much did you step back?
Oh, I don't, you know, step back. I think you're just feeling a disappointment that, you know, you miss an opportunity in front of our fans. You know, and now we got to create momentum again. you know, and get back to it. That's the leagues. It's a long season, and you know, it's an emotional game, and you know, this is a game that you know, we'll look back at it, you know, but we just don't have much time. You know, we've got a short period of time to look at, and then we got to turn around, and we got practice already tomorrow, you know, to get ready for this game. You know what? I thought this week we had an unbelievable practice. And I said that on Saturday. I don't know what that means. I don't know. It was crisp. It was sharp. It was very focused. It was detailed. And not just did I think that. Multiple people that within our organization saw it. I don't know what that means. If it came out here, obviously it didn't play as well as, you know, we practiced right here. So that's what leads me to believe that we went there and practice was how focused it was and to come out here. And that's why sometimes you can get caught up in it. And if it doesn't go exactly how you envision, you know, do you get, you know, frustrated? Does it become more emotional? But we're going to be in more of these situations now. We're going to be in more of these. And we got to learn to be in these situations and handle it the right way. Well, I know, you know, I feel for our fans. You know, they show up and they cheer and they're supportive. And, you know, we just didn't play very well in front of them today. So, you know, for us, we're trying to do everything we can to play as well as we can. And we feel like when we do that, you know, then we'll give them a good product. Today we didn't play as up to our capabilities. Okay, thank you.
Your network. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, the Raiders over the Jags in week 7, 33-16, the final score. Let's get to the highlights from today's game, and we'll find a Bud Light play of the game as well. The Raiders started the scoring today with a Janikowski field goal. The Jags drive down 9 points.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily on them. I mean, it's a bunch of grown men playing football for a living. It's kind of on us to do that as a group. You know, it's on each individual to kind of, you know, I guess hold themselves to a high standard. When they get out of line, it's on the rest of the team to put them back in place.
But have you seen that? Have you seen your teammates?
Yeah, no, it happens. I mean, it obviously needs to happen more. But, I mean, I think there's emotions involved in this game. It's passionate. You know, guys get fired up, but I think, you know, there's definitely a fine line between playing passionately and keeping your poise. You know, and I think, you know, still trying to figure that out. And when guys get out of line, it's on the rest of the team to put them back in place.
Blake, how frustrating is it for you right now? It really just seemed today there was two or three throws out there that seemed like routine throws that you normally make, and for whatever reason, didn't get made.
Yeah, I missed some throws. It happens every Sunday on any game you watch. It's part of playing football. You know, obviously you don't want to do that. You like to make every throw, but sometimes you miss them. So it's, you know, kind of a continuous work in progress. Just find ways to get better, find ways to throw it to our team, and try and put up more points.
The interception in the end zone, what did you see from your vantage point?
Yeah, it was a bad decision and a bad throw. You know, kind of had a little high low in that corner, and he played, you know, kind of stayed put, and I could have thrown it underneath the Hearns, you know, and threw it, you know, deep to Marquise. And if, you know, I throw it, you got to throw it to the pylon or out of bounds to where Marquise can catch it or nobody can catch it. So it's kind of both a bad ball and a bad decision.
As the games where the offense struggles continue to mount, your frustration level got to go through the roof at this point or no?
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating. And, you know, every time you lose, I think win or lose, you know, Sundays are kind of the day to where you can, you know, at least for myself, that emotion kind of takes over. Obviously, if you win, you're happy, and if you lose, you're upset. And then you got to move on because it does no good to be frustrated or happy tomorrow. We got a short week, which I think is an extremely good thing for us. We get to forget about it quick, turn around, and go play a divisional game and have a chance to start 2-0 in the division. So, you know, I think it's a cool opportunity.
Do you feel right? You know what I mean? Like, you don't look like the same guy from last year at times. Do you feel right? Is there something you put a finger on?
No, you know, obviously not playing good, but, you know, I couldn't tell you. I wish I knew. I'd fix it, but, you know, it's just a continual thing, and you know, hopefully find a way to turn it around and, you know, solve some problems.
Blake, is this a more difficult loss than the closer losses to the Packers and the Ravens here, considering how you guys play at home today?
Yeah, you know, they're all frustrating. You know, I'd say equally frustrating. They're anytime you get beat, you know, it sucks. You know, especially when you don't play remotely close to the way you're capable of playing, you know, from, I think, a personal standpoint and as an offense as a whole. You know, we've played six games now and are still nowhere near to playing the way we can. So that's frustrating. But there's still a lot of football left and a lot of chances and a lot of plays and touchdowns to be made and scored.
How much of what happened today with the offense was you guys not producing the way you wanted to, or the, what the Raiders were doing? Because they came in as the worst defense in the league.
Right. Yeah. You know, and all throughout the week, it was, you know, they had a talented defense. We knew that. We knew numbers-wise they were ranked last in the league. But we knew we had to be good because you know, it was kind of, they have a lot of talent on their defense, so we knew we were going to have to be good. And they did some good stuff, but it was nothing we didn't expect or plan for, or, you know, it was nothing we hadn't seen before.
Rodgers had a bunch of drops the last couple of weeks. That's not like him, obviously.
Right.
Do you still have the same kind of confidence level on
him? Yeah, yeah. You know, obviously uncharacteristic for A-Rob to drop a ball. You know, and I think, you know, I know from his point of view, he wants to get an opportunity so bad. You know, he's getting doubled. He's getting, you know, safeties over the top of him. So when he gets a chance, you know, I know he's juiced up and dying to make a play. It, you know, for him, from my point of view, it doesn't matter. You know, if he dropped one bar, 10 balls today, every time I get an opportunity to throw Allen Robinson the ball, I'm going to.
Mark, he seemed to be the lone bright spot today. How huge has it been actually having an outlet when those guys have returned?
Right. Yeah, Marquise has been awesome all year long. You know, it's really the first year we've had him healthy, and he's fun to play with. I love the way he plays. I love the passion he plays the game with. He's fiery, and you know, he's just like the rest of that group. They're all just dying to get an opportunity to make a play, and, you know, he had an opportunity and took advantage of some plays today.
Any different reasons for the lack of downfield throws, just the coverage they
were playing? Yeah, we, you know, we had some dialed up, and, you know, their safeties bailed pretty good. You know, played a lot of match type coverage with, you know, man coverage and two deep safeties. So it was hard to take some shots down the field. You know, we did have some called, but just didn't really get a chance to throw any.
What are things you can try to get this offense going that you haven't already? I mean, you went hurry up a little bit today and worked a little bit, but what are some things you guys can do? Because at some point you're just going to get to the point where you're going, enough, we can't.
Right. You know, I think it all starts with the self-inflicted stuff, the penalties, and the unforced errors that we create ourselves. You know, we can't do anything until we get past that. You know, we'll never be successful as an offense as long as we're turning it over and committing penalties. So we got to find a way to knock those out. And, you know, we will never reach our potential until we do that.
Blake, I know how hard you guys have tried with the running game. I know you got one good run off from Chris today. But when it's not working, and it's not, you know, they're figuring it out, whatever the case may be, how much more does that put pressure on you to have to be the guy to deliver?
Right. You know, it's fine. I don't have a problem with it at all. You know, I think a quarterback's perspective, I'd love to throw it 70 times a game. You know, I don't know what would happen or, you know, what would – but, you know, I'd love to get the opportunity to throw the ball around. You know, I think we're still continuing to try and find our running game. Like you said, you know, Chris had a big run today. But when you get behind, it kind of forces your hand a little bit to start throwing it and get away from the run game a little bit. And I think that's kind of what happened.
A couple of guys stood up and spoke in the locker room. What was their message?
You know, I think it's kind of what everybody said. You know, it's on us as a team to hold each other accountable. To have two or three guys or whatever to get thrown out is kind of ridiculous and embarrassing. So, you know, and it was good. You know, I think the best thing for us right now is that we get to play Thursday. So you don't have time to kind of think about this for much longer. We get a chance, you know, to, like I said, go, you know, hopefully start 2-0 in the division and move on right away, which, you know, I think is good. After a poor performance like this, the best thing that can happen to us.
Who were the guys that spoke up?
Mercedes was the only guy that spoke.
All right, well, Mr. Bjork,
where's your confidence level right now in yourself?
I don't know how this sounds, but my confidence never really wavers with myself. I believe in myself 100%, and I think that's how you have to play the game. I think any doubt you have within yourself, you know, I think would prohibit you from things you could possibly do. You know, so I always have 100% confidence in myself. I'll play as hard as I can play and do as much as I can do for this team to be successful until they tell me not to play anymore. Thanks.
costly unsportsmanlike conducts towards the end. Two ejections today. Turnovers. Three turnovers for the Jags, none for the Raiders. Yeah, the Jags had two and didn't get any last week, but they still won that ball game somehow by losing the turnover battle, but you lose three, and it's hard to get anything done at all. Time of possession, Oakland 33 minutes and change compared to 26 and change for the Jags. And it's not going to get much prettier on the individual side, I'm sure.
No, it's honestly, it's not as bad as you think, considering the final score. But like you said, JP, it doesn't tell the tale. Blake Bortles, 23 out of 43 for 246 yards and a touchdown. However, it's the two interceptions that stand out, particularly the first one when they had a chance to get a score on the board early. Derek Carr also completed 23 passes, and on 37 attempts, he wasn't much more efficient, but certainly looked that way. 200 yards passing on the nose and one touchdown, but the key was he did not turn the football over. Latavius Murray took him 18 carries to get 59 yards, but he's able to score a couple of touchdowns for the Jags. Chris Ivory, 5 carries for 48 yards, but 42 of those came on one play. Blake Bortles, the second leading rusher, with 5 for 33. And then T.J. Yeldon had 6 carries for 24 yards. So you only gave it to your running backs 11 times on a day where you're facing a defense that was giving up 4.8 yards per carry. Mm. Marquise Lee ended up the leading receiver in the game. 7 grabs for 107 yards. Michael Crabtree on the other side caught 8 for 96, as they clearly were thrown away from Jalen Ramsey throughout this game. He had the long of 56, which set up a touchdown. He caught the lone touchdown from Derek Carr in this contest. Julius Thomas caught a touchdown pass from Blake Bortles there on a heck of a grab. 3 for 20 for him. A lot of tackle opportunities to go around for the Jags. Jonathan Cyprian had 11 solos on the day. Paul Posluszny had 8 total tackles with 7 solos. Prince Amukamara, who I don't know if you'd say picked on, but the result of going away from Ramsey, where a lot of balls coming to Crabtree, who Amukamara was covering today, and he had 7 tackles himself.
He was definitely picked on. I mean, if smart coaches, you're not going to throw at Ramsey.
I agree.
He's a young kid who's playing great ball. And Amukamara, you got to prove yourself.
What do you think, Fred? The 56-yarder to Crabtree, I thought Amukamara was in pretty good position. I thought that was one of those you just kind of say, wow, that's
a great
heck of a spot that you put that ball
absolutely
in for Derek
Carr. All of that. And again, in the NFL, the one thing they tell you all is you got to make the play.
Right.
If you're in position, you got to find a way to make the play. So it's a 50-50 ball, really, when it's up there like that. But it was a big third down. And that's what, you know, is demoralizing, deflating. It's a third down. But, you know, when you go as a coach, you look at my matchups. And Crabtree versus Amukamara, I'm going to take that all day. You know, regardless of how good Amari Cooper is, I think the percentages are better or more in our favor if we don't throw at Ramsey.
Oh, I agree.
The other way.
You said that they were averaging giving up 4.8 yards per carry or something,
yes,
the Raiders' defense?
The Raiders were.
So, Fred, if they can't run today, when are they going to run?
Can I just stare at you?
You just did. I just got a mean stare from you.
I mean, they were giving up almost 450 yards a game, right, total.
Yeah, they were last in the league, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in 30th against the rush. These are the games, and as I said before in the pregame, you lick your chops for these moments. You know, and the coaches, you have to, you know, find ways to not beat yourself. I had some rhythm. You know, this play sets up this play, vice versa. The run game, the average per carry looks great, but it wasn't any consistency in terms of setting up other plays and vice versa to help yourself. I can search all day. If it's not, you know, if you're not going to outscore the other opponent or have that W in the win column at the end of the game, it's just all hot air. I'm not on the field. You know, I'm not calling the tough plays and any of that stuff. I'm just sitting here just trying to, you know, analyze the game the best I can and give my opinion, having played for a while. But, yeah, you find this play sets up that play, you know, and you sort of strategize that way. And just trying to minimize the chances, positions you put yourself in that might cause you to lose the game. If you gotta punt it away. Run, see if something breaks,
right.
Punt the ball away.
Right.
You know, and play great defense, which
they did for a lot of the game today. Yeah.
Even if they're playing Ben don't break, give up 3, just keep punching away at it.
So we'll see what happens. There you go with the Everbank Final Stats Check. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. You want people to come together, you want PRI, visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. We'll pick a player of the game coming up. The injury report still to come as well. 33-16 is the final. The Raiders over the Jags in Week 7. Jaguars postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars fans, Republic Services is now hiring CDL drivers in Duval and St. John's counties. With Republic Services, new drivers receive a $1,500 sign-on bonus and competitive benefits. Over 50% of managers in Northeast Florida started their careers as drivers. You can build your career too. Join the Republic Services team and make a positive impact on your community and the environment today. Visit republicservices.jobs for more information and to apply. Republic Services is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wear the star. Drive your career. Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
When we take on a truck accident case at Farah and Farah, we can download the truck's black box data before it disappears. This data tells us if the truck was speeding, as well as the braking speed, the throttle, and even which lane the truck was in when it crashed. This is all evidence needed to reconstruct the accident. These cases are extremely complex, so call our experienced truck accident lawyers at 396-5555. Farah and Farah, protecting you and your family. Jacksonville.
Jaguars postgame rolls along, 33-16 the final. The Raiders now 5-2 with a win over the Jags, who fall to 2-4. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. It is time now to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game, and here's how the voting works. I get a vote. Mike Dempsey, you get a vote as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Fred Taylor, you get a vote and a half, considering you're on the wall, to break any ties. So I'm going to go first tonight. Just because.
Why not? Someone has to.
Marquise Lee was targeted 8 times in this game, made 7 catches, 107 yards, and as the weeks have gone on here, his production has increased. And don't forget the kick return game for him today. He had 2 nice kickoff returns in this game. So Marquise Lee, in a losing effort today, 7 for 107, 2 nice kickoff returns. He's my candidate, at least, my guy.
Statistically, I'm not going to argue with you, but the one thing that held me back from Marquise Lee getting it, he got one of those unsportsmanlike penalties, put him in a bad situation, right? Backed him up 15 yards.
Good point.
You know, and so while statistically, offensively, he was the standout guy, I'm going to go with Jason Myers here, right? A guy who on all his kickoffs resulted in touchbacks today. They can get a single return off of him. He was 3 for 3 on field goals, made his extra point 44-yard long, and none of them were ever in any kind of doubt. So I think Myers had a very solid day. I'm going to go with him.
Fred?
2 good picks. 2 great picks. But I had in my head, I was thinking the same thing as JP, you know, prior to hearing
it's
your assessment
good.
Of
it's
Myers.
It's all good.
No, I like it. I love it because it's all true. But Marquise, he seems like he's coming to his own. You know, this is the reason the team stuck with him and could sort of waited around through the injuries. Each and every week, his targets have gone up. In the last 3 weeks, he's been a lot more productive than he's been the previous 2 years. So my vote would be with Marquise.
Let me say, had JP for some reason gone with Jason Myers, I would have gone with Marquise. I didn't want it to be 2-0 with Fred's vote not counting. So
why not? Why can't we shut out Fred one?
We could, I suppose, on occasion.
You got to let me go first more often.
Maybe. Then maybe we'll outvote. Maybe we'll come back on him.
We'll come from behind victory there.
Marquise played very well, though. Other than that, you know, moment where he let his temper, whatever, right, get the best of him. He is becoming more of a focal point on a team, Fred, that is not finding anything in the deep passing game. So his underneath routes right now are very crucial to them moving the sticks.
Right. And again, teams study and they evaluate, and they know how much of a threat Allen Robinson is, as well as Hearns. You know, so if they're going to double those guys, pick certain defenses and double those guys certain plays, then Marquise is going to have to be the guy that's got to make the play. And he's showing that he can be that guy.
There you have it. Marquise Lee, 8 targets, 7 catches, 107 yards receiving today in a losing effort, but he had a couple of longer kickoff returns as well. He is the Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game. We're back with the injury report. More thoughts from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well after the Raiders knock off the Jags 33-16. Jaguars postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
Taking the field, a bold bet.
Check out that power.
Gets the most out of every carry.
That's one tough lineup.
And it's all because of EcoBoost technology with the power and performance to take it to the house.
And you can get it in just about any Ford, including the rugged F-150 and the lightning quick Mustang.
Ford powered by EcoBoost. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get it at your Southern Ford dealer today.
This is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics, a Konica Minolta company. Konica Minolta is an innovatively powerful worldwide company, leaders in super technology that can help your company grow. Konica offers powerful software solutions, exceptional IT services, and award-winning digital copier systems. Konica is ranked as one of the best companies to work for by Forbes magazine. Partnering up with the Jacksonville Jaguars, this is Tim S. Marshall, president of Copytronics, and market vice president of Konica Minolta Business Solutions.
Does your yard need some help? Call or visit Liberty Landscape Supply today. They carry plants, trees, gravel, stone, mulch, pine straw, sand, dirt, and much more. Visit LibertyLandscapeSupply.com where you can search for plants that will work in your landscape, research products, email questions, place an order, and schedule a delivery. Check them out online or call 904-261-7177. Liberty Landscape Supply is your number one source for materials that make your yard look beautiful. And don't forget, they deliver to you.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan on creating the best customer experience.
Game day is special, and when the Jags take the field, we want every fan to have the best game day possible. That's why we partnered with Daly's. They even have 3 locations in the stadium. They know what makes for a great customer experience. From the kickoff kit program to the way they treat our fans at the game, it's like they say, it's nicer here. I can't think of a better game day partner. I also happen to like their coffee.
To experience what Shad's talking about, visit a Daly's at Everbank Field or any of our 26 Jacksonville locations.
Ready to take your game to the next level? Become a pro fan. Only with NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. With NFL Red Zone, you can see every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. And with NFL Network, you get 24/7 coverage of the entire league. Switch to an X1 double play from Comcast with NFL Red Zone and save when you bundle. Call 1-800-XFINITY or click today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
Bowden Eye is the only center of excellence for cataract and refractive procedures in North Florida, specializing in laser cataract surgery. Why trust your vision to anyone else? Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville. Dry eye syndrome is very common with today's lifestyles and is many times misdiagnosed. A LipoFlow treatment can change your life in 12 minutes. Visit Bowden Eye and Associates, keeping the First Coast focused with 4 locations in Jacksonville.
Jaguars postgame continues 33-16, the final. The Raiders over the Jaguars in Week 7. Raiders are first place in the AFC West, 5-2 record. The Jags now 2-4 in the AFC South. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A few notables today. Roy Miller, right Achilles injury, left the game. Have not seen any reporting on the severity of that injury, but if he didn't return, you could imagine. Colvin with a left toe injury, not sure of his status. And Derek Marks, Rick Ballew reported on the sideline, was limping, favoring his right knee or lower leg. There was no official word from the team on that. But the Roy Miller news, not good. I'm not sure exactly how bad it is, but when you leave the game like that, you're one of your big run stoppers up front. You don't want that from your nose tackle.
We talked about him in the pregame. JP is a guy, you know, plays a position that you're not going to pile up any kind of significant statistics very often, but I think everybody in that locker room knows how valuable Roy Miller, Fred, is to this football team. He's a professional. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a great run stuffer, occasionally gets some penetration in the backfield, but he's a guy you can count on to occupy a couple of blockers for you and free up those other guys to hopefully make some plays.
Yeah, he's the anchor. It starts with, you know, right there over the center. You want to be able to control that if you're going to play the style of defense that they're playing. Hopefully it's nothing extremely serious. They'll get him back hopefully at some point. But they have some depth, too. I like the other guys in there.
Avery Jones, pretty good ball player.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah, so there you have it, the injury report presented by Baptist Health System. One more timeout. We'll wrap it up and preview Thursday night's game against the Tennessee Titans when we return on Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Imagine turning on a shower and getting an endless supply of hot water almost immediately.
As soon as this heats up, whoa, hello.
With the smart recirculation technology of the new Rinnai Ultra Series tankless water heaters, Rinnai brings you faster hot water in showers, sinks, and other home appliances.
That was fast.
That was fast.
Rinnai tankless water heaters give you an endless supply of hot water faster, plus big savings on water and gas, which leaves only one question. Why wait any longer? To learn more, visit us at rinnai.us. That's rinnai.us.
Hey, Jags fans, is your bank guaranteeing high yields on your money? At EverBank, our yield pledge promise guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields available. And that promise is yours when you open a yield pledge checking or yield pledge money market account. So we do the work while your money gets the glory. It's your money. Make the most of it. Visit a local EverBank Financial Center or find us online at everbank.com/jags. EverBank is proud to be the official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars. EverBank, member FDIC.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Call Insurance Office of America today, 1-800-243-6899. Property insurance is not available in the state of Florida from Auto Owners Insurance.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings, much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
This portion of Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Postgame. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. If you're in Jacksonville on our flagship station, coming up, the scoreboard show and your calls regarding this Raiders-Jaguars game today. 33-16, the final score. The Raiders a winner. So a short week. Good timing for a short week. Get it out of your mind and get ready to go up to Nashville. The first time in a long time that the Jags have had a road primetime game. They've had these Thursday night games at home over recent years. But this Thursday night in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans, your favorite, Fred.
I'm looking forward to a good matchup. I think the Titans are a better team than the Raiders. I mean, they're going to run the ball, and we got to be able to stop the run. Today wasn't pretty, but they're going to definitely run the ball. And their defense, I think their defense can really get after it. So we got to find a way to erase this game, go up there to play, because if not, if you walk in there slow motion, the Titans, I think, will jump over them, jump on them.
They scored today on a tackle-eligible screen pass, by the way.
It all counts.
It does. Let's make it happen.
Is there a stronger term than must win? Do we know a stronger term than must win? Because, I mean, this is – now you're at the point where if you want to have any semblance of hope, you have to go in and win this game. You have to go 2-0 in the division. Still may not be enough. I feel like we're already in 2015 mode, scoreboard watching, hoping that the AFC South continues to collapse around the Jaguars. And that's what's going to keep them relevant right now, Fred, because I can't envision the way they're playing going on an extended winning streak. They've got to go into Tennessee, win that game, get to 3-4 without question. If they lose that game, I think any realistic hope of sticking around in the AFC South race is out the window.
Yeah, they have to control what they can control. And it starts with, you know, playing your butt off, getting out there, trying to come back with the win. You know, they can't worry about what other teams in the division are doing. When they get their division opponents, you have an opportunity to go out there and control your own destiny is what they have to do. But they have to play really well. Blake has to step it up in that environment because it's going to be crazy over there in Tennessee. And the Titans know what they're playing for. They let one slip away today in the last few seconds of the game. Otherwise, they would be pretty much in the driver's seat.
They would be.
Of the South. Hoping the guys go up there and bring back home the W.
Got to have it. Fred, well done. We'll talk to you this week before this that week, game Thursday night. How about that?
That's right. Make it happen.
Well done. Fred Taylor.
Mike.
Freddie, hey. Good to see you, buddy.
We'll see you next week, Fred.
Yes, sir.
For everybody in Jacksonville, the Scoreboard Show is next. The Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards, Manager of Radio Joe Fortunato, Tyler Devitt, and Linda Fortunato are the producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, Raiders 33, Jaguars 16. This has been Jaguars Postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.